Hi, everybody. Welcome to Style and Soul Reformed, the podcast. I have on today Sidra Rubin. She's the founder and owner of an amazing Canadian boutique called Blush and Vine. Hi, Sidra.
Hi.
So Sidra and I met probably, 6 months ago or something. Yeah. And it was just so cool because we both have like longstanding backgrounds, career backgrounds in the fashion industry. Sidra's been in retail for 17 years. If you could just introduce yourself and give the audience a little bit of your background and how you got into fashion, that would be awesome.
So my name is Sidra. I have been in retail, like you said, for 17 years. I actually came into the business. I bought a boutique. I live in Montreal, Canada, by the way. And I bought a business. I was doing fundraising jobs, not for profit, for many years before that, some marketing jobs. And an opportunity came up for me to buy a boutique that had been like a longstanding community kind of place for many years. And I actually started by selling makeup and skincare. It was before Sephora was around. It was like a little mini kind of everything kind of shop. And I sold accessories and makeup and skincare and hair products, like that sort of thing. Like actually like a very New York City kind of shop, like, you know, where you go in and they have like a little bit of products from all over the place, from more back in the day, more in like the 90s type of thing. And then into my journey in that retail journey, I owned that particular boutique for 10 years. And in those last 3 years is when I started bringing fashion in.
Okay.
So many changes in the marketplace, which I'm sure we'll get into later. And then just continued with the fashion from there.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, buying into a boutique is really risky, right? I mean, you kind of went in not really knowing how to run a business per se.
Yeah. I didn't really know. I was young and I didn't really know. Thankfully, the manager of the store stayed on with me and she had been there. Like, just to put into perspective, the boutique, by the time I closed it, had been open for over 30 years.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah.
So she had an existing following.
There was an existing following. I didn't buy like a random thing. I didn't start anything from scratch. So I kind of came in, I had to make a lot of changes because they were older. The owners of the store were older and, you know, there was not even a computer.
Wow.
Yeah.
But
thankfully the manager stayed on with me the whole time. So she knew everything like the back of her hand. So,
awesome. You had like a mentor then.
I did, you know, and I think for her it was also a breath of fresh air when I came in because they were like, you know, you kind of get stuck in your old ways and the world around everyone was changing and it needed a little bit of an infusion.
Yeah. Totally. Like refresh it. I feel that like from a fashion standpoint constantly, because if you're not changing and evolving, you're dying, really.
Yeah.
So I feel you. I know. What year was that when you opened the business?
2005.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know it's
saying that feels like so long ago.
It feels like so long ago, right? But at the same time, I remember 2000, like I remember graduating from college like yesterday.
I know. Like, but if you think about it in terms of 2005, in terms of buying habits, you know, a lot of people were still shopping with cash and like only people with their credit cards and collecting points. That was all just starting. Interact debit was just starting. None of that really existed before. And, you know, there was a lot of changes in people's shopping habits, like right when I took over that store.
Yeah. Which is also like such an amazing opportunity then for you to come in and like breathe in some life and a breath of fresh air to the whole assortment.
Yeah.
Which is very cool. Like what I noticed when I see like Sidra's like a big social media.
I am now. I wasn't then.
No, not then, but I feel like you are adaptable. Like I am kind of in the beginning, especially I was very begrudgingly getting like into the whole video thing and all of that. And I've since become way more comfortable with it, And I see you doing your thing, and it just makes it more fun and inviting. Regarding like the TikToks and stuff, like how did you decide to start taking that leap? Was it like something you enjoy doing, or like,
no. Okay. So
didn't like force
this me. Is the perfect transition, because when I was closing my store, that's when Instagram really started coming. I'm actually not on TikTok. I'm only on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. But that's when Instagram started coming. Now, if I had known at the time, because before Instagram, which we might not know, because we probably really weren't into that thing, it was YouTube. The YouTube was it. And I sold makeup. Like if I had jumped on that YouTube train and started with tutorials, like back in those days, things would have been so different, but I didn't know. And I also had two young kids at the time. Like I had both my kids while I had that business. So it was a lot. And I didn't know what to do. Like Facebook, fine, but Instagram, I didn't know. And, you know, all of a sudden all these people were popping up onto Instagram and they all seemed right. So perfect.
Yeah.
A lot of them came from YouTube. They were very comfortable. They were younger than me, that's for sure. And they were already comfortable with the whole process.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I was like reaching out to so many people who were all of a sudden, you know, social media specialists, and I felt so desperate about it. It was very stressful.
Yeah.
So when I
know, I feel you.
It's when I shut that boutique and I rebranded myself as Blush and Vine, I opened up another brick and mortar, but it was really much more of a book an appointment to come and shop. I wanted a more flexible schedule. It was in an office building and it wasn't the prettiest. So I didn't have an aesthetic.
Right.
So I really had to reach out to people that could help me and like go to like this one girl helped me and she had a beautiful office and I would go there and start doing photo shoots there. And it was really all photo based at the time. It was even before stories. But then stories came about and she would always tell me, you have to get on, you have to get on. And I was so like, I don't have anything to say. I feel like there's already so much noise. And it was very much, you know, everyone was showing all their products. And I felt I just didn't have my place or a footing in that world.
Yeah.
So it took me a really long time. And only really after I started working from home and I really brought my business more online and I kind of built myself a pretty space that I felt comfortable with. That's when I started. I started doing Style Tip Tuesdays on Instagram stories and I literally wanted to hide under my desk because I remember my best friend called me up and she's like, I just watched your stories. It looks like you're on QVC. I'm like, oh, cool. That's like totally not what I was going for.
That's not the vibe you were going for.
But it worked.
Right. So I went through a similar process with the whole social media effort. I like grew up with no self-esteem too. So it was like, I'm the behind the scenes girl. Like I don't want like to be front and center. Like I'm not like an attention loving kind of girl, you know? So being in front of the camera was like so bizarre to me, but like a few years ago, for many years, like with Style Reform, with my brand, I wouldn't do it. I was like, no, like, don't shoot my face, like shoot my legs, like,
yeah,
you know, or I would have somebody else do it. Like I would have one of my babysitters, like try this stuff on and I would shoot it on her. But yeah, so it was similar to me. And then I was like pushed into it, like, and then the whole pandemic hit and I started doing all of these TikToks, which your reels are kind of similar to like,
it's all the same kind of thing. But you know, when I first started with just the photo area of it all, I did have, if you like really scroll like far down, I wasn't the model. I had people modeling, like the girls that worked at the agency, or I'd get some friends. I wasn't the only model until it just became so difficult to coordinate. I just didn't have enough time.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I have to do it. Like, and also no one can sell my stuff the way I can sell my stuff.
Exactly. That's it. That's just it too. Yeah. For me too. I'm like, nobody's going to be able to speak to the product like me. And same with you. I mean, you're the buyer, you're the one selecting, curating the assortment and all of that. So it just makes more sense for sure. Now, I don't really love being the only person that has to try this stuff on because, you know, as you're also your own business operator, you have to like run all the functionality of your business as well.
Yeah.
So it's like for you to be content creator, model,
it's everything, know,
accountant, all of these things, it ends up being like so many hats, right? So it's like to be able to like get the support and start hiring on people to give you a little bit of a break is nice too.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to ask you, because you've owned your own business for so many years at this point, what has been one of your biggest entrepreneurial wins?
My biggest entrepreneurial win was actually, it's a crazy story because you know, good comes from bad. And right before COVID, I redid my website. I was really trying to, I was seeing customers in my house. I was selling online, but my website really wasn't performing the way that I wanted it to. Mm-hmm. And in January of whatever that year was, 2020, I redid my whole website. And then COVID hit. And I had just gotten back from a buying trip and I was in LA and I got home. It was in February, and in March, everything started coming in, and it was like, dresses and linen pants and like stuff for office days and like party, like all the things.
Yeah.
I happened, because where I live in Montreal in Canada, like February, March is a very difficult season. It's winter, it's cold.
Bitter.
It's very hard to sell. I never know what people want to buy. And I kind of said, you know what? In between, before they start buying blouses, I'm just going to grab like some sweatpants, sweatshirts, like that kind of stuff. It's still winter. So I was pretty stocked in loungewear. I don't know. It just happened to be.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit and I panicked because I was like, well, that there goes my business. Like what? No one's going to shop.
Yeah.
But my business blew up because everything was closed and I was there showing things. No one had anything else to do and they were watching me, and I happened to have all the loungewear, mm-hmm. and my business blew up that year. So from the crap came something very good, and in turn, it gave me a lot more confidence and just set me on a path to like continue pushing and working, because I have never stopped. Throughout all my failures, which I'm sure we'll talk about later, I have never, ever stopped. So to me, that was just like a huge win.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, taking things in stride and trying not to resist what is probably one of the keys to maintaining a bit of sanity. Because any time in my life where I've resisted is when I experience the highest level of discomfort, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And also same with me with COVID, because I am a loungewear brand. So like I went from like starting with a showroom that was showing my stuff and, you know, orders were coming in here and there, but then all of a sudden it was like, holy crap, like, wow, this is like actually happening. Right. So it was a blessing in disguise for the business growth. Definitely.
Yeah.
You really are lucky that you had stocked in loungewear. I feel like sometimes the universe has ways of guiding us before we even realize that.
Definitely. I mean, I'm not going to say I was full stock, but when I saw what was happening, I was able to just
pivot,
keep ordering and keep providing. And I think during those dark days, I was really able to make that connection with my existing customers, and it grew to, you know, a lot of new people that started following and you know, listening and, you know, it wasn't just, I really, you know, the one thing, and just to get back to, you know, about getting comfortable on the camera, the one thing for me that I tell everyone is that what you see is what you get. So I never wanted to get on camera and just talk about nonsense and garbage and stupidity. Like I have to feel passionate about what I'm talking about, believe in what I'm talking about. It has to be a valid point, like, because there's so much noise out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why, and you know, my age, I'm 43 years old. I'm not like a 22-year-old creator. I'm a 43-year-old mother of two. I live in the suburbs, you know, like you have to know who you're talking to. You have to know who, you know, it goes back to also like, if ever I would work with an influencer and they were much younger than me and their demographic they would come and find me. They wouldn't relate to me at all.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it needs to be authentic, and it's not fun if it's not, if it feels forced, it's not fun.
No.
And I think, I think what I'm also realizing in my whole business owning journey is just that I own my own business. I should be having some fun, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not having any fun, it's kind of like, what's the whole point, right?
What's the whole point? What are the tears for if you can't have fun?
I know, that's for sure. I'm kind of curious. So have you ever, throughout the 17 years that you've owned a business, what I'm realizing, because I've owned my brand for 5 years, but I've been in business for myself for 7. Okay. And I feel like it's been the biggest growth journey of my life. I feel like it's tested my patience. It has, you know, I've faced fears that I never wanted to look in the eye, you know, like just the whole risk and everything and the stress. Have you ever wanted to give up on your
business? 100%. So after I closed the first business and I said, I rebranded as Blush and Vine and I opened up that little, you know, office type of boutique. Mm-hmm. I hated the space. I hated the actual space. And, you know, retail spaces are very expensive. And I was really struggling because I really didn't want to go back to like a 9-to-9 retail job, mm-hmm. retail location. And I wanted to be closer to home. So I just shut down. I stopped and I literally took a mental health break. I packed everything up. I like took a break. I went to therapy. Mm-hmm. And part of that journey was I have like an extra bedroom in my house, was transforming it to be a space where I can come and sit and figure out what I'm going to do next. Mm-hmm. And it really, I didn't think continuing in retail was going to be that. I love writing. I have some blogs. I was going to start to focus on that and take some time for myself. But when I started to settle in and grow in that mindset, my customers were, where are you? I want to shop. I miss you. Mm-hmm. Why don't you work from home? And, you know, things started turning and, you know, I gave up, but I recalibrated and put like another foot forward.
Okay. So, I wanted to know what you do for self-care. Like you have 2 kids, you're a mom, you have your own business, you're jamming away. Like what, how do you factor in your downtime and what do you do?
I definitely, like to take care of myself. Like I go to the salon once a week to do my hair. That is like a huge thing for me. I don't feel myself. Like if you look at me right now, I'm going after this interview to get my hair done. It's like, so me, you know, beauty stuff. Definitely. I work out every morning. That to me is like a non-negotiable unless I'm like super busy and I can't, but if I don't get it done first thing, like kids go to school, I get on the bike or whatever, then it never gets done. And I try very hard to find some girl time because my days I'm just by myself all day long working. Yes. And yesterday is a perfect example. I made it happen. 2 girlfriends were going for lunch and like, I'm lucky I have the flexibility, but I work so much that I never do it. And mm-hmm. I made it happen. I went to meet them for lunch. And it's just so important to connect with your people mm-hmm. because especially after the last 2 years of being at home, like with my husband and only seeing like X person or that person, like you have to surround yourself with the people you love or like it falls off the table and it doesn't become a priority.
I know. And then all of a sudden you feel like lonely or
very lonely,
isolated. And you're because I get it too. I mean, I have my own office and I have an assistant, but I need to be around like my peers,
yeah.
you know, and to chat about like things like, for instance, you know, being a mom and going through all the, once I became a mother, I was like, oh my God, I realized like what a huge accomplishment, like giving birth and having a child and raising a child. And, you know, you just, evolve into a different human after yeah. you have children. Yeah. So
it's, and it's funny because as you go through the motions of the different stages of how old, I don't know how old your kids are, but a few weeks ago I was getting my nails done and there was in the salon, there was these three girls getting pedicures. I guess they planned this type of self-care day together, but they all had babies. They weren't with them, but I knew they had babies. I could tell. And they were talking about feeding schedules and sleep schedules and like all that, which obviously I did that when I had my kids. And I'm like, I'm so, you know, I'm talking about like having to stay up till midnight to go pick up my teenager from his party and I can't stay up. It's like, you get to these different stages and it's just, I was just laughing to myself, listening to them talk because I remember those days.
I have one last question that I'm curious to know. So I wanted to know what strength has served you and name one weakness that you have overcome.
I think for me, my girlfriend said this to me once because we started a little side business together a couple of years ago to raise money. She's diabetic. And we started like just a little fashion label to raise some money and awareness. And she said, you are such a doer. Like I say, like, if I say tomorrow, I want to sell, I don't know, I can't think of something, but like, whatever, I want to sell X, like I will make it happen. Like when I set my mind to something, it gets done immediately. Like I am on it. It's like, I don't sleep on it. I am like not a procrastinator and I have tried 100 things and I've probably failed at 90 of them. Do you know what I mean? But I will mm-hmm. never stop trying. I definitely know I get that from my dad. I guess that's part of the entrepreneurial spirit. But I'm not shy in that sense. Like I will, you know, we were talking about getting in front of the camera. I was never shy to get in front of the camera. I just was shy to, I just wanted to have a valid point because I'm not like, I don't want to waste anyone's time. Everyone has a lot of time and I don't want to waste your time and I don't want my time to be wasted either. So I'm very much like, I will get it. I will get the job done no matter what. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. I think one of my major weaknesses is self-doubt is I spent a lot of time, which I've since mostly stopped, comparing myself to others, which is like my biggest downfall, especially in this business, especially with social media, you know, with my competitors around me. And I figured out like, for me, like some people, they like to see what's going on, what everyone else is doing, but that to me is a detriment. And I don't watch, I don't look, I stick in my lane, I do my thing. And that has really helped me overcome that major weakness of feeling like a failure, feeling like I'm not as good as X, Y, or Z.
Yeah. I mean, thank you for sharing that because I feel like for a long time, I mean, me personally, like I wanted to hide my weaknesses. I didn't really want to even look at them, you know, as a part of my life. But in order to evolve and grow, you're going to have to look at everything, right? And just kind of build the tools around having to deal with those things, which is what you've done, right? I mean, you don't like allow yourself to get carried away with the things that you know are going to trigger you or bring you down.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, we all have our moments, of course, but I would say that's a huge weakness that I overcame. And also I think a win on my part, because I think you can tell when I really kind of stuck to my, this one of my suppliers always tells me this, she's like, you stick to your lane. Like when I stick to my lane, I'm full speed ahead.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I know. And that's how we live and we learn. Like everybody's trying to, you know, overcome something. And I think it's awesome that you're able to like recognize it and pivot, you know, pivot away from the things that, you know, bother you.
Yeah.
That I was mentioning before. It's like, you have to find like, because as a business owner, we're doing so many different things and like, what, like 80% of the things that we have to do are not necessarily fun, right?
No, I have to get off this call and go and do my year-end inventory. So that's not fun.
Exactly. So we have to find the fun to keep like the energy and the whole purpose of owning the business alive and well, you know? Yeah.
And, you know, the thing with these types of businesses, it's all, you're the business, I'm the business. Like they're coming, they're looking, they're messaging me, they're asking me, they want my advice, especially the customers. I have a lot of customers that I've known for many years. I know what they look like. So yeah. Will this fit me? What size should I get? I literally, if you look in my Instagram bio, it says DM me, I'll help you shop my store, because that's actually what happens.
Yeah. That's, and you know what they're going to like, yeah. Like you said, you can like buy according to the customer almost.
Yeah.
It's like, That's great. I mean, you're providing like a really invaluable service to people, because not everybody speaks fashion. Not everybody.
No. And yeah. There are those that do, and they, you know, they know what they like. They just go and buy. They don't even message me, which is fine. I mean, people are able to shop, but a lot of women are not. And you go to the mall now, it's impossible. There's nothing.
I can't stand going to the mall.
There's nothing. I don't know. I mean, it's very difficult to shop. I find, especially if you are of a certain age and you're not a size 4. And I know it's very easy for me to say that because I am a smaller size, but I do my best to try on things in bigger sizes so they can see, people know now how to judge what they're buying based on how it looks on me, which is I think really great.
Yeah.
I have every few months, I'll invite some customers who are different sizes and bring them in, and we'll do some try-ons on different sizes. Mm-hmm. I love doing that. It's a little hard to coordinate.
No, but it's fun. It's like, again, like a fun way to get the community together. And it's like girls trying on stuff and having fun. It's great. Yeah. It's a really good idea. I know. I feel like just the fact, because even me, like trying stuff on is not always the most fun for me, you know, let alone somebody that's not even into fashion trying on, like going to the store is like a chore, right? So you modeling it, them seeing it, them knowing your height and how it looks.
Exactly.
Anyway, I wanted to thank you so much for taking the time.
I know we could talk about this for hours.
I know for sure. It's like we speak the same fashion language.
We totally do. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. It was great chatting with you. So where can the followers find you? Instagram handle?
Instagram is at Blush and Vine, BlushandVyne. And the website is blushandvine.com, and everything is there.
All right, Sidra, thank you so much again.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right.
We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye.